Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is All Business, All the Time. Each of my guests will discuss his or her expertise in a business discipline. My first guest is considered one of the top business gurus of the 20th century. Her concept of return on customer revolutionized marketing. We'll discuss her latest book, Managing Customer Relationships, A Strategic Framework. My second guest used his legal training to create a coherent account of the beginnings of modern business and the ancient predecessors that preceded it. We'll discuss his book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets. My third guest is a former managing editor of Fool.com, the website of The Motley Fool. Her lifelong interest in investing has led her to the conclusion that more of us need to invest like a girl. We'll discuss her latest book, Warren Buffett Invests Like a Girl, and why you should too. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question of any of my guests, you can always call us at 639-0008. Martha Rogers, Ph.D., is recognized for well over a decade as one of the leading authorities on consumer-focused relationship management strategies. Martha is an acclaimed author, a business strategist, and a founding partner of Peppers and Rogers Group, the world's premier customer-centric consultancy. Business 2.0 magazine named Martha one of the 19 most important business gurus of the past century. The World Technology Network cited her as an innovator most likely to create visionary ripple effects. Martha, with her co-author, Don Peppers, has produced a legacy of international bestsellers that have collectively sold well over 18 million copies, or millions of copies in 18 different languages. Martha is an adjunct professor at the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. She began her professional career as a copywriter and advertising executive. She earned her PhD at the University of Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Martha. How are you today?
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Frank.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, Bill, Frank. I got it.
That's all right. Thank you. It happens all the time when you have two first names. So let me set the stage for my listeners, if I can, because many of them that are listening to the sound of our voice are either small business owners themselves or executives. And really what I want my listeners, companies to come away from this great recession, I want them to each be leaders in the field. So to that end, it requires thinking differently. And that's why I've invited you on the show, because you're the one who can help us adjust our thinking to surge ahead during these times when the recession ends, so that we can be leaders. So central to all of that is adapting a strategy that seems counterintuitive. You posit that we should treat each customer differently, not the same. Now, most of us have been taught, you know, you treat all your customers the same, you provide them the same level of customer service, but that's so 20th century. So what do you propose that we do instead?
Well, think about it. The way we used to do things was because we had mass technologies. So because we suddenly, at the beginning of the 20th century, had mass production and mass marketing media, and we had mass everything. And because of that, we had to do mass business so that we did the same thing for everybody, and that was the most efficient way to make a good profit. But now we have new technologies that drive us into a new way of thinking, so that we have data that helps us keep track of each individual customer, and we have besides the data management, we have interactive and interconnected technologies, social networking, and we also have mass customization. If you take all those together, then they really demand that we, if we're going to succeed, that we look at each customer differently. And instead of doing the same thing for everybody, I should be giving you, Bill, what you want without giving you a bunch of stuff you don't want. And so I'm actually able to save money while I'm serving you better. And the more a company can do that, the happier the customers are, the more strongly aligned they are with the company, and the less likely they are to go someplace else. They're also likely to have better tweets and more positive Facebook comments.
Isn't it interesting that tweets have become a currency in and of themselves? My guest is Martha Rogers. Well, Martha, in a world where everybody gets a trophy just for showing up, won't customers be offended if you treat different customers differently?
Well, yes and no. They get it if they understand that you want to be more valuable to them as they become more valuable to you. So the perfect example, of course, is the frequent flyer programs. Nobody's offended if they only have to fly once a year. Those of us who have to fly all the time know that we've earned it. And what makes it, what's the difference between differentiating customers and discriminating customers, which we would not want to do, we would never advocate treating anybody badly, is simply this, that the basis of how you get to the top of the list or the front of the line occurs just because you give us more business than somebody else does, or whatever other criteria we set up. It has nothing to do with your gender or your gender preference or even how much money you make. It only has to do with how close our relationship is. And as long as I know that as a customer, then I can choose to shop around all the time and try to get the lowest price today, or I can concentrate all my business with one vendor or one supplier, and then I get to go to the front of the line at that business. So that is the choice that differentiating customers give to customers and allows them the ability to get to have some place where they're treated well.
My guest is Martha Rogers, co-author of the book Managing Customer Relationships, A Strategic Framework. And Martha, in that last answer, you mentioned frequent flyer miles. And I want to dive in on that, if we can, for just a second, because here is an example of differentiating a customer that's been going on since the 1980s. However, let's use specifically frequent flyer miles. Haven't they lost their value? Because now it's very difficult to trade in your frequent flyer miles for a flight that you want at a time that you want, the available seats and everything else. Hasn't it lost its cachet? And isn't it doing the airlines more harm than good?
Well, I think that the problem with the airlines and for any number of other industries that have given over to using some kind of a loyalty program based on points or miles or some kind of reward system is that they try to take the shortcut, and as a result, they're doing what the airlines have done, which is basically just cut margins. And if you start slicing up your margins, then nobody's really happy in the long run. Not the shareholders, not the employees, and in the long run, not even the customers, because it cuts into the quality of products and services. But the fact is that most of these loyalty programs, I'd say 97% of them are done wrong. And the reason for that is that basically they are a bribe. I will bribe you, Bill. If you will come to my store today, then I will give you a slightly better price or points or something, and so I'll get you to come to my store. But that doesn't really get loyalty to happen because, of course, you're carrying the frequency cards, the loyalty cards, so-called loyalty cards, for half a dozen other companies as well. And so as long as I'm in your set, then I'm likely to be one of the ones that you will choose for today, but not necessarily the one you will choose today. So that's sort of the cheap way out. That's the faux loyalty program. And in fact, it can be an anti-loyalty program. I reach Delta's platinum status about May of every year.
Wow.
And when that for the following year. And when that happens, I say to my assistant, hey, I tell you what, take me off Delta for the next few months and make sure I get to American platinum status for next year. So it's an anti-loyalty program, right? But the way to do it right is the way a few very bright companies that are really focused on building customer value have done it. And that is that I give you a reward in exchange for giving me information, so you have a reason to get your card out and let me link your transactions with your identity. And then I do the next step. I take that information and do something for you that somebody who doesn't have that link and that information, that they don't know how to do. So I'm actually able to give you extremely relevant offers. I'm able to let you know about the things that you'll want to know about next, not announce the next new stuff to everybody, but to make sure that you hear what's really relevant to you and have offers that are tailored to you. And in that regard, not only is it great for customers, but, of course, you build true loyalty with them.
You do. My guest is Martha Rogers. Martha, central to all of that, then, is your concept of return on customer. Now, some of my listeners may not have heard of that concept. So could you elaborate on that a little bit for us? And then we can talk about how we can exit this recession in a little better competitive position than we were when we entered it.
Well, we entered it because of a terrible, terrible emphasis on the short term. We've learned how to measure that so well that we're all really good at it. It's what everybody learns in business school, or maybe not at business school, maybe around the kitchen table. But the emphasis is always on how much money did we make this quarter? What are our numbers this quarter? But that's what caused the recession in many ways. But the businesses that are coming out of it the best, and the ones that will not be hit as hard the next time around because the cycles will come back, are the ones that understand that while it's important always to make money in the short term, that the companies that balance making money in the short term with building equity for the long term are the ones that are the most sound and the most solid. They're the ones I want to work for. They're the ones I want to invest in. They're the ones I want to be the customer of. So if you think of return on investment as the value that you create for the money that you have to use, then return on customer is really the value that you create for the customers that you have to use. And you use up their attention all the time. You use them up if you don't serve them well or you didn't get back to them fast enough or they had a bad experience and you didn't fix it. You know, that's how we use up customers. And if we do that, then that makes me sad because customers are our only source of revenue ever. Products don't pay us money. Brands don't pay us money. Stores don't pay us money. Only customers pay us money. And so it's very important to think in terms of how do we make sure that we are making the most from the customers we have by being the most valuable we can to each of those customers.
That makes sense. My guest is Martha Rogers. So Martha, take us through this. The starting point then from coming out of this recession and being a little bit better ahead of competitively than we were before is to really outservice the competition. And that begins with understanding what customer service is for your customer. So help me to understand for my small business owners that are out there, how can they find out what their customers really value in terms of customer service?
Well, one thing I would ask is whether or not everybody on this call who's listening, who owns a business or is part of a business, large or small, does your company allow customers to come onto your website and say anything they want about your product or service? By the way, whether you think so or not, they do, because all you have to do is join sidewiki.com, and then you can go leave a message or a comment on anybody's website, and anybody else who's also a member at sidewiki.com can see those comments. So like it or not, your website is already open to anybody who's a member. Those customers are having these conversations right now. And so the question is, are they going to have them with you and where you can see them, where you can answer them openly and fairly, and where you can address the problems and you can add to the accolades? Or are you going to let that happen somewhere else? Because as we become more and more interconnected, and we will never become less so, then what we see is more and more transparency. So your real question is, how do we change the way we do business based on the fact that there will not be any more secrets? You should be running your business as though every email would become public on the front page of a newspaper, that every phone call is hacked into, that there are no more closed-door meetings unless the doors are made out of glass. They're just... In a world of that kind of transparency, you can't have one story inside and another story for customers. You use the right language all the time. You think the right way all the time. And the best way to provide the best customer service is to take the customer's point of view and make sure that you're doing for each customer, gee, what you'd want to have happen if you were the customer. And in that regard, then we're really moving into an era. I'll tell you the name of our next book. It's called Extreme Trust. And we're moving into an era of proactive trustability where companies actually have to look out for a customer's best interest, even if that customer is not paying attention, even if that customer is not knowledgeable or well-educated. Then we still have to do the right thing because otherwise we're going to get called out on it and we're not going to be able to survive the long term and just the short term.
That's very true. My guest is Martha Rogers. Martha, help me and help my small business owners to understand this delicate balance between the getting to know the customer the way that you've just described, looking at things from their point of view, and providing top quality service with the inevitable budget cuts and cutbacks in personnel and everything else that we've had to go through during this recession. How can we be better at customer service with fewer people to do the customer service, fewer tools at our availability?
So our people matter more than ever, don't they?
They do.
And making sure that we're creating a culture and giving them the tools where they can do those right things. You know, we think that company culture is really what employees do when no one is looking. So creating an environment where they can trust us so that our customers can trust them is imperative. And if we had a long time, we could talk about all the ways we could do that. But the important thing is to make sure that we're doing right by those employees, so that they will do right by the customers, and that we're creating an environment where we foster that. So that's the first thing. And then the next thing is that we want to make sure that when we do start cutting, that we cut out things like, I don't know, paper clips and extra parking and things like that. But we don't cut back on being valuable to customers, because they're our only source of revenue. They're the only thing that can get us out of this. I'll tell you a quick story. Our very first client, way back when we formed our company in 1993, was Harley-Davidson. And we love Harley-Davidson, and it was wonderful to get our teeth sort of sharpened on that, on our business with such a great client. And it was interesting, because in 1993, you couldn't get a Harley-Davidson. They were so popular that there was a backlog of orders. They had great product, and they were determined to have great service. Thus about was creating greater and greater relationships. Now, they had solved their quality problems from the 70s, and here they were in huge demand, and that's when they decided that they needed to build strong relationships so that they could have long-term relationships with customers. It's really a very good lesson. And you know, there are people out there who actually tattoo the Harley-Davidson brand onto their biceps, and so I think that maybe we have a new key performance indicator for companies. Let's see how many of your customers have tattooed your brand on their bodies, and then we'll know how.
That's a disturbing metric, to say the least. My guest has been Martha Rogers. Martha, you have so much knowledge, a wealth of information. We're out of time, but if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your services, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
PeppersandRogersGroup.com. And Peppers and Rogers is Peppers, like plural of salt and pepper, and Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S.
And is that the ampersand or is it the word and?
It's the word and.
It's the word and.com. My guest has been Dr. Martha Rogers. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.